Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, look at this. Hold on.
See, Oscar, he was creating a pressure in the eustachian tubes.
Nice.
A Florida mug.
Ooh, Florida mug.
Wow. I will give, and I will make it right, I promise you. I will give $5 to the first person that can tell me the retailer that sold us this coffee mug.
Walmart.
Rob, don't jump in.
Okay.
Here is a hint.
Mm.
The name is somewhere on the coffee cup.
Oh, man.
Hmm.
Who would put their logo on the coffee mug?
Hmm. That's tough.
Starbucks.
It's Oscar Santana.
Yes.
With a $5 bill coming to you.
Thank you.
That is excellent work,
Look at
Oscar.
That.
Marketing guy
that.
Knows. Mm.
Incidentally, what a logical way to approach it by saying, what type of person? Then you're like, immediately, who would get it?
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Family Gourmet Ground Coffee.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes, of course.
That to me is starting a week off on the right foot.
Thank you.
When you put Pat Neely, it makes me realize that the work you put in.
Have you watched any more episodes?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, Mike.
I'm only enjoying it here.
I have two in my TiVo. I hope to have them enjoyed today.
I have been doing the Pat Neely.
Yes, in what
weekend?
Way?
Shannon has no idea what it is.
Oh, you're doing the voice.
Yeah, I'm doing the voice.
What is the name of the game show that's on what channel?
It is
Dollar Bill.
No, it's called Save to Win.
Oh.
Save to Win, and it's on Channel 50, right?
It's on Channel 50 locally. I don't know where it is. Check your local listings, of course, and then you can play the popular game.
What's in the bag, my brother?
Channel 50. I believe Channel 50, probably the only station in Washington that we may have said no to, you know.
You know what?
Their resources being as thin as they were, and their offer
Neely,
being as generous as
when
it was.
He sells Save to Win around the country, I bet. It goes something like this. We're on in many major markets, like Washington, D.C. We're on Channel 50.
Like
Washington, D.C.
If I'm not mistaken, Tribune also said no to Channel 50 as they are selling it for Spectrum.
Didn't I go to Channel 50 and do an interview about the podcast on Channel 50? Was that where Seagraves was?
He was on Channel 20.
Was it
Channel 20?
Channel 20.
Captain 20 related in some way?
They both run the CW, Mike, but DC Channel 20 has staying power.
Oh, okay. All right. So 50 is just there.
CW.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's off Wisconsin Avenue, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Wisconsin Avenue.
They share an office space.
Off Wisconsin Avenue. That's
they share an office space.
Economies of scale.
Yeah.
I was running around saying Family Dollar panties.
And they don't sell panties.
And Shannon's like, what are you doing?
You need to say this, Oscar. You need to say
Family Dollar AA batteries.
And then I would see, let's say, like a pair of socks.
Mm.
Family Dollar socks. And I'm walking around.
She has no clue.
She has no idea. And she's like, are you okay? It's like, thanks for the support, babe.
See, this is what's different is after married 20 years, if I were to go around, I'd say, Family Dollar Italian style breadcrumbs.
Yes.
Carrie would just roll her eyes and leave. But she'd know what I was doing.
I think this is going to put Family Dollar. Now, would Family Dollar be ahead or behind? I'll go to our MBA.
Yes.
Would they be ahead or behind Dollar General?
No.
And isn't there Family Dollar, Dollar General, and Dollar Tree?
Mike, after looking at their portfolio, the Family Dollar brand is so much bigger than the other competitors. Blew my mind.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dollar Tree, I think, treading water in many markets.
Really?
That's just my opinion. I don't know. We go to the dollar stores all the time. We have a three-year-old.
Is their expense really that? I mean, their overhead really that much if everything's less than a dollar and they probably bought it for 20 cents?
Right? No, they bought just tons of crap and they put it in there. And
it has to do with presentation. You're going to go to the one that doesn't feel like a junky, dirty dollar store.
But the thing is,
no dust.
Right.
A three-year-old can come home with money from his piggy bank with a Chinook helicopter that has a little string you pull that makes the blades go
sure.
for a dollar. And that, to me, that's all a three-year-old needs. A three-year-old does not need a $49 piece of plastic called a toy that you buy at Walmart.
Things are no different than they were 40 years ago when I would be taken to, in Arlington, Robertson's Five and Dime, where you could buy things for a quarter.
And
like
that
a
would
pea
be,
shooter or something
and
like
and
that.
And he has been, since he was 2 years old, he's been using money out of his piggy bank that he gets for cleaning his room to go to the family dollar store. And Carla lets him pay by
Boom,
himself.
Yeah.
You're teaching
time.
Him the value of money. That's excellent.
Capitalism. Teaching
yes.
him the
yes.
great. Teaching him the lust for the great American
you
dollar.
You work, they pay.
And you know
That's
what?
Right.
You're also teaching him the value of value.
My dad used to take us to Kmart and buy us nothing.
What?
That cheap
but the,
bastard.
The value as toys are
Love you,
the
Pop.
Greatest example. Let me tell you about, I've become quite a connoisseur of toys and value.
Yeah.
If you, for example, when you go name brand popular cartoon,
yes.
you're screwed. You're screwed from the minute. You go Disney, you go Turtles, you go Paw Patrol,
Dora.
You go any Dora. You go any of those.
Big Dora.
See a lot of Dora.
Yeah.
You've been out of the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol would be. I don't think you don't see
what's
the Dora
hot these
and the
days
Diego.
And the kids.
What's
one
hot
to five.
Right now? Probably the hottest toy. I think the we've had stories about it. Legos are.
Yes.
Legos.
Oh,
Legos have an aisle.
Expensive.
Legos have an entire aisle right now,
yeah.
and. He loves the large building block Legos, but he hasn't gotten into the minutiae of like building a pirate ship with Legos.
Yeah.
And I'm not encouraging.
Well, you
it.
See, that's yeah. that's where Lego has taken it to the next level, where they sell you a kit that only builds one thing.
Yeah, and that's
because when we were kids, you used Legos
for everything,
and then you disassembled and rebuilt. Yeah.
That's for the A-foles in the world, though. And I think a cup of coffee. I was an A-fole, an adult fan of Lego, where I bought a complicated set and I thought I was going
to
build it.
Thank you for defining right. it before I had to ask.
And sitting in a box. If I'm not mistaken, it is the oh my god. The Batmobile, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's the Batmobile. The Tumbler.
$49.99 was the Lego Mar-a-Lago set, which was pretty exclusive. And,
Mike, you had to special order the Secret Service Lego guys.
That's right.
You can build the little Secret Service van, and it does come with palm trees. But that's
did you get the add-on? Did you get the add-on? Little tiny but marvelous piece of chocolate cake.
Little chocolate cake. Most beautiful chocolate cake you've ever
it's
seen.
It's only three blocks to assemble.
How much are Legos now for kids, the little blocks?
I bought the, last year I got the Yellow Submarine collector set,
yes.
the Beatles one. I think it was $30.
Man.
And that's just the box of
plastic. And what kid did you buy that for?
A 46-year-old little boy named Robbie.
You bought the Lego submarine?
Yeah, because it goes on my Beatles shelf.
But you're not building it,
No,
right?
never
and
build
how much,
it.
And how much did you pay for it?
I think like $30.
$30.
Through Amazon.
Yeah. Why not?
Jesus.
Collector's item.
Yeah.
You
can come over to my house
that.
And play, Mike.
You
I
don't
have
play,
lots
you
of
leave.
Toys.
You can't touch your toys.
You no,
don't,
you
nobody
can't.
Can
you
touch
you
your toys.
Well, I looked at the box.
You looked at the box.
But all the blocks are still in their hermetically sealed bags. Yeah.
Rob Spiewak, you will be very, very excited that I did make an expensive purchase that we saved up for.
What's that?
Well, we've decided now that once every couple of months, we will spend money on a show, something to go to. It can be a hockey
That's
game.
Sweet.
It can be something.
That's
we
nice.
Go to a baseball game.
An outing.
We are going to see Rodgers and Hammerstein down here in West South Florida, and we are going to see, sort of as an homage to my dear mama,
yes.
the King and I.
Oh,
we're
it's
going
a good
to the
one.
King and I.
I'm so lost in this world. I've heard the name, but what do they do?
This
Rodgers. Can you look up? Can we get any King
of course,
and I, or
yeah.
should
yes.
I do it? I can do it.
The King and I is based on an older movie called Anna and the King of Siam.
Okay,
about a lady who is brought in to, I believe, teach English to the children of the King of Siam.
Oh, nice.
But there's, of course, a romance
you don't bother
happens.
Looking, don't you bother your pretty little head looking for
oh,
it.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
I'll get that
You're
for you right
100%
now.
Doll face, and I appreciate
Rob,
you.
Rob, can you explain the story a little bit more to Oscar as far
yeah.
as what the, you know.
And the
when was this set?
This was set in probably the 1920s.
Ah.
And the ultimate, you know, when you think of a role, there's usually one person who is identified with it.
Like Clark Gable.
As Rhett Butler.
Yes.
Exactly. And so the guy who was always forever associated with the King and I was Yul Brynner as the King of Siam. And he was
like Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator.
Yes, or as a kindergarten cop.
Yeah, or the kindergarten cop.
And
it's really, to be honest with you, it makes me think of my dear sweet mama.
That's sweet. Mm-hmm.
And so that you know, she was a huge Rodgers and Hammerstein fan, and so this is really supposed to be a decent. They call it the Lincoln Center production, which is
nice.
I don't think it's a slouch production when they bring that on.
It comes back to Broadway on a fairly regular basis because it is a fan favorite. Any names in it that you recognize?
No, there. I don't think you know. Listen, I'm so old. I just remember the movie. So
because if it's the Broadway,
Yul Brynner and Maureen O'Hara were the movie.
I believe that's right. The if it's the Broadway one, that was just the king is played by Louis Anderson.
So it should be a
that sounds
a
like that's a little culture, Mike,
of the theater.
I sometimes look at what's happening in the arts here in DC, Mike. Mm-hmm. We have all those wonderful shows coming through the Kennedy Center, and then I look at Shannon, then I look at the commercial that's on selling tickets, and I look at Shannon and I look at we're not ready for that yet.
Carla's not.
We're just not ready.
Carla has any inkling of what she's in for?
This is like the experience with the Masters. I have to get her to the venue.
Right.
I have to get her to the event. And, of course, when I get to the event, I'll be sitting there just the whole time just blubbering. Because this will just be bringing my little Broadway Queenie memories back as far as these great, great shows. I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll be looking forward to it.
I hope it's great. You know, a lot of times
Carla doesn't care.
I still want to see Cats.
That's where my Broadway queeniness goes out the window. There's not anything that Andrew Lloyd Webber brought to Broadway that I'm a fan of. I hate to say, I know people are going now, the Broadway queens are going, no!
Well, we're old school Broadway.
I like old school stuff. I like the revivals.
Before they moved
I like
it.
All that.
You see, Mike, Starlight Express is a musical about a train that people wear roller skates. And you know what I said? Include me out. No, thank you.
That or the Lion King production that always looks like fun on TV.
Now, I would go see that. I would think that would be fun.
The Lion King I went to on Broadway. I took my daughters to the Lion King. It was fabulous. It was good.
Nice.
It was, and that was back in the days where, you know, Daddy always got the E ticket. I was always, you know, let's get down. I was, I don't want to tell you I was front row center, but I was chatting with the orchestra leader before the show.
Whoa.
Could you smell the lion's breath, Mike?
But the thing about a Broadway show, and you learn this if you're a theater geek, and I'm not, that, you know, when you're a little further back, there are seats that are much better to see the entire scope of the production.
Yeah.
But but I'm very, very thrilled.
Pony
about
and Mac's
that.
Favorite is Miss Saigon.
Yes. Saigon.
Oh, by the way, we will have a movie review. Were you just doing George Carlin?
Yeah, Wino News.
Yes. Phnom Penh. That's it for Wino News. Details on the half hour. Oh, my God.
I love when Pony does. Pony is quite a cunning mimic.
Saigon.
Pony, I didn't even know you were a connoisseur of that. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I really had no idea. Really?
One That's of my awesome. Favorite tapes you guys play.
Oh, thank you.
Or
That's
we play.
I was a disc jockey when I was 19. I was lucky.
You are fleet.
I found a job, like, you know, when I should have been still learning about it. And it inspired wonderful Wino and Willie West, a character of mine. Radio stations, of course, change personnel rather rapidly. Yeah, Willie West is no longer at Wonderful Wino. He's been replaced by Scott Lame.
Hi, gang. Scott Lame here. The boss jock with the boss sounds from the boss list of the boss 30 that my boss told me to play. Right here on the Nifty 850.
Did we hear the whole bit?
That was
wonderful
the first time.
Wino Radio. Wonderful Wino. The big sound in the big town. Wino time.
I'll stop the show
five
for Carla.
5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. Hey, we'll get started. One of the big sounds this week. Number five. Number five. Number five. Number five. Number five. Number five. Last week was number nine. 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 Moved up four spaces. Four spaces, four spaces, four spaces, four spaces, four spaces. Here it is, one of the new supergroups, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Sacco, and Vanzetti. And the ever-present footprints cross the shadows on the carpets of the hallways of the memories of your mind. Okay, kids, one of the big sounds and a great story behind that one. And you heard it first right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. Wino time, bing bong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. Moving along with two in a row. A big double play, back-to-back sounds for you on the Scott Lame get-together on a wonderful Wednesday.
Scott
Here's a
Lame.
Tune that's really moving fast. When I say fast, it was recorded at 9 o'clock this morning. At 12 noon, it was number 15. At 3 o'clock, it was the number one sound in town. And now it's a golden oldie. Solid gold to make you feel old. Solid gold to make you feel old. A golden flashback from the summer of 69, before you were born. Remember, kids? Here they are, the Red, White, and Blue Electric Outdoor Protestant Blues Band. Jenny.
I'll let this run. This is worth it.
Jenny. Okay. Okay, it's always good to get into some super gold. Super gold! Okay, we'll take about 5 minutes out here for the latest news from around the world from the award-winning Wino Newsroom. And then back with more of the big sounds for you here on the Scott Lame Get Together for a wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Wino time, ping pong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. As soon as we come back, we'll be listening on Medical Records, Won't You Take My Heart by the Donors, and My Body is Rejecting Your Heart by the Recipients. But first, from around the world, across the nation, and up your street, here it is, Wino News, with Wino Newsman Bill Beeper. Saigon! Phnom Penh! Bangkok! That's it from Wino News. Details on the half hour.
There it is. All right. That's
so
it.
Great.
Well done.
Scott Lame.
That's FM and AM, that album came from. That was his second album, or was it his first album?
I think it was his second, because wasn't that the album that... Well, the FM side was more heady, trippy, druggy stuff, and the AM side was more old school Carlin. Great album.
Wow, I had no idea about that, but that was
fun.
That's one guy.
First time I've
stage.
Ever heard that.
You never heard the whole routine?
This is the first time I've ever heard
and
the entire routine.
Recorded live in a comedy club. That's
very cool.
Just a great quality recording.
And as funny as that is, it is so close to the way radio was in like 1969. It is really a great time capsule capture of all that stuff. I love it.
And what gratifies me, Rob Spiewak, is it's the exact way our podcast is today.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Staying in a hotel this time. They put me up in a little bit of a shithole. Yeah. Just this side of Rinky Dink. First 7 floors are homeless shelter, but I'm on 8. Everything's all right.
That would be where I would do an audible and play like a quick musical clip, to be honest with you. That's okay. That just would be, you know, to
well,
have
that would
a pre-planned
be the
comedy bit.
This is the first time we've ever done that in 2,000 shows. So, I mean,
know. I understand that. And that's why I always be thinking.
All right.
Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in Washington, D.C., the Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. But play it tomorrow, please. The Mike O'Mara Show is a national podcast and radio show with an incredibly loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it. And if you're here, so do you. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673 or MikeOMaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the product that was gliding across my chin not 2 hours ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you about Harry's Razors.
Mm-hmm.
The following story is true. Excuse me. Sorry about that. The following story is true. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of its customers. Boo.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. Boo.
So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's. They wanted to fix shaving. and they've done it successfully. That's why this week, arriving at the O'Mara front door, will be two canisters of their fabulous shave gel, along with an assorted number of razor blades that will make my shave perfect every single day.
Best and shave gel in the world. It is absolutely the best.
And I bought some face wash as well. They're incredible, minty, menthol-y face gel that I love so bad. They take less profit at Harry's. They sell directly to you over the internet. Harry's offers their blades at half the price, $2 per blade, compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Plus, the shave will be the best you've ever had. Your free trial set, and they're offering that right now. They are offering you a free trial set for free. Just cover the $3 shipping. That trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, a 5 precision engineered blade cartridge with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer of $13 value for free. Just cover shipping to get your free trial set, including a razor handle and 5 blade cartridge and shave gel. Go to harrys.com/TMOS right now. That's harrys.com/TMOS. Yeah, so it's just
Harry,
you know, right after a stand-up bit to do a stand-up bit, you know, and, you know, you should have a default.
Back to back.
You pre-produce the openings every day, correct?
I do, because I want them to be tight and bright and out of sight.
You can run a tight board.
I can.
Yeah, we just had to separate, I guess.
Why are you holding, Oscar? Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing.
No, not you.
Oh.
He said you almost didn't get tight board out without laughing.
Me?
Yeah.
History
will show.
You run a tight board. You're a DJ, but you do pre-produced DJ work. You know,
not always. Pre-produced the open every day since we've started on Terrestrial.
Well, no, we can never be flexible with the open. We can, because you have it in what you have one, two, three things that are basically edited together in one block. So you can't like switch out the music at the last second or do that. Like, I didn't even know I was going to talk about George Carlin at all until Pony said what he
organic.
Said. And then bing, bang, boom, I'm off to the intranet to grab this and play it. And then, and I did the same thing with The King and I. I didn't know I was going to play a clip from The King and I.
I will keep a backup ready to go. But, you know, it's
what was the stand-up you were playing
today? It was David Spade.
You get done watching a video of the Patriots, and then you play another video right after of some minor league team.
I'm with you. Given heads up.
It's like TMOS to America.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's fair.
That's more than fair.
That's not, he's not going to like that. Anyway, welcome to the show. How was everybody's Easter?
Easter.
Happy Easter Monday. Easter egg roll Monday.
Weird for me, because this was the first time we didn't do anything with the kids. No baskets, no candy, no nothing. And
Did you have any celebration whatsoever?
Yeah, about
G.O.D.? Did you involve him?
No.
You didn't go worship the Lord our Savior?
No.
Risen?
We are on a hot streak of many consecutive Easter without darkening the door of a church.
So would you consider yourself a non-religious person now?
I'm a man of faith.
But I mean, you're not religious?
No.
You don't go to church?
No.
You don't attend a regular church?
No, haven't for a long time.
What about
time.
Christmas?
Christmas is a great holiday that we celebrate all the fun parts of it.
We are at a moment of crossroads with faith in the O'Mara household.
In what way?
Well, we did not go to Easter services. We have not been to our church down here in a long time.
Breaking news.
Yeah, it's...
Mike, I thought you were born again 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's just...
Remember Pony?
You go to a few services Tell and you're just everything. Getting... The music and the secondary person in there that sort of takes over, you know. I love our pastor. I love our pastor James.
He's a great guy. Pastor?
But then it was just it's not a vacation. He's there, but he lets this other
May
person
I offer
take
this?
Over.
Yeah, something that happened in our family is we were a church going family for some time. We went to church before we got married, and we went to church before the kids were baptized.
Ah,
and after we got that business out of the way, didn't seem as important to go to church anymore.
Well, I would go, but here's an example. At one of the things last year, I signed up to be like a reader, to do some of the readings up there.
That is fun.
I never got around to it. And they, of course, because it is organized and people have to do things in an organization, they have a class that you have to. You have to go to a meeting before you get to do the... You have to be sort of signed off before you do the readings. And this person has contacted me Now a total
class?
Of four times. Yeah.
That's
the last
nonsense.
Time. Okay, but they do it, all right? They just do it. They tell you what the ins and outs are of you know, how they like to do it, when you go up, when you don't. You know, they give you the lowdown. That's fine. But I never got around to it. Then I got a letter that said, you never showed up for this class. I'm wondering, are you still interested? I said, I've had this. Well, we're going to offer a class in the fall, and we're going to offer a class this spring. And then I give a very detailed explanation of the fact that I'm having major surgery, and then we are going to go up north, and that my daughter's graduating, and that things have been a little hectic around here.
Stacked.
And then I get, well, you could squeeze in right after the whole thing about the surgery, then you could squeeze, I said, my surgery is on May 18th. Well, you could squeeze in one our thing on April 24th. And I'm like,
what?
Did you happen to read that? Well, that's the, but is that not the way the people that are not in the workplace, that are actually out there doing, it makes me, when you push me, I take 20 steps backwards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's inevitable. When you get into one of these things, there are people
cults.
That, here's what it is. Mm-hmm. There are people, this goes for homeowners associations, for boards of nonprofits that-
PTAs.
This goes for, there are people who utilize it as the only thing they do outside of getting up and doing their hobbies. There are people that do this, you know, as a sideline, and they put good work in. But then there are people that don't, and I find myself being put off.
What they need to understand is that while you are a person who wanted to help them out, volunteer, be a part of the process, and you know, you appreciate the church and the pastor, reading that text on the altar is not your number one
priority.
Man, listen
to that siren. Yep. I can hear that.
Coming for the sinners.
Yeah. It's not the number one priority in your life.
Would we be able to, if we sealed those windows, would that come through the brick? That's
yes.
Okay. That answers that question. Yeah. All right.
But it's not your number one priority in life, and it is their number one.
Soundproofing the studio?
No. Reading text on the altar. But it is their number one priority.
I'm all for showing up, and for a lot of people, showing up and doing the Sunday number is great, and I believe that there is a community outreach with church that is wonderful.
Yeah.
You've been to my church, you've seen it. It's low key, it's not over the top. The thing about it is, though, that people around it, I respect what they do. I just don't like to be made to feel pushed
or guilt
or guilt. Yes.
Guilt.
The numero uno guy doesn't do it. You know, the numero uno guy.
No, he's not the heavy.
Hey, how have you been? But it's the little committee heads
and
stuff.
It's like the pony of our world.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. Pony's always like, did you do this?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
No, pony's drunk somewhere. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Right.
I bet it's, you know what?
I've been pushed by pony in my entire life.
I bet it's by design. He allows himself, and I'm not saying he's doing it in any sort of evil or vindictive way.
Why don't you tell the boss, Mike?
Yeah, but the boss allows himself to look like the good guy.
Why doesn't he say, hey, look,
I don't
like
because he's got minions
boss.
To do
Wait,
it.
That would be manipulative.
I don't have any cred. I don't have church cred to tell the boss. You got to show up to tell the boss.
But what about the big boss, God?
Oh, look, yeah, pray.
Two reasons we don't go. Number one, the number one reason, music. It's basically
bad music. Oh, bad music, bad church.
Like that. And it's an enormous amount of the time that we're in there is this plodding, just laboring music that is not well done, and it's gotten to a point where I'm sorry, I can't.
I'm trying to remember. What is the accompaniment? Is it an organ? Is it a piano? Is it a guitar?
It's a piano. There's some strings.
So you're saying if the quality of the musician was higher, you would actually go.
If it moved a little crisply and it did not plod along
these volunteers
continuously,
church.
and also you know, and the messages are good. It's just it's an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, and where it ought to be 45.
Latin
and,
Mass,
you know,
2 hours and 15 minutes.
Did you do that yesterday?
I went to sunrise service at the Lincoln Memorial, Mike, with Shannon.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my God, did you make me look bad? Oh my God.
No, you, Mike. He's just being a tourist.
Yeah, I'm just being a douche as well because we're like we want.
Did you ride your
Lincoln
bike
Memorial.
Down there?
We rode our bikes up there.
Of course you did.
Because it was beautiful and it was nice. And
what time did you get up in the morning?
5:30.
And you rode your
bike?
That's
the time I got home from the service.
Got dressed. night, and we both dressed like adults, and she has a nice little cruiser bike, and we rode up there. And
Did you put like your Sunday go to meeting clothes on a bike?
Yeah, I had a sports coat and a dress shirt, no tie.
Well, you see, that'd be over the top.
And jeans and hard shoes on.
What a beautiful you and your lady,
just me and Shannon. Yeah.
Doesn't he win the Easter award?
Yeah, and then I came
me,
and
schlubs.
Well, you know what? He comes in second next to, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, God.
Yeah. But a strong second. Silver medal.
Oscar posted a really nice picture at the at one of the memorials. Yeah. And I thought that was terrific.
Who
A priest.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a non-denominational deal, right?
The reason why I knew is because I had taken my bike around the monuments the day before, and they had a big sign that said Easter service starts at sunrise. And I said, oh, well, tomorrow all I have is work in the morning, right? So I can't go to my mom's church. So I said, Shannon, do you want to wake up early and go to the sunrise service at the Lincoln Memorial? She said, that would be nice, as Mike said. And I said, we got to dress up. We can't look like we're just working out, running around and stopping by to see God. And she said, okay.
To see God.
The service, and that means that the three of us won't be hit by lightning.
Yes, the service was beautiful.
Some of it is transitive, yes. We get
and they had music, Mike, and I was thinking an hour long, maybe a little longer, and then we packed up, rode home, and I ran the board for the ESPN show at 8 a.m., and that was it. That was my morning.
And did you see Mama at all?
Yesterday, we went to my mom's house for Easter barbecue, and as you know, Mike, you know how that works. My mom makes the best barbecue around, and she marinates it for days, it feels like, and we hung out with the family. That way.
Oh, my. Nice. That's like you win the Easter award.
Yeah,
that
he really
awesome.
Does. He
yeah,
does.
But I'm also Latin and full of guilt. And, you know, whether it's God or my mom, they got to be involved in a holiday like this.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you feel pretty good.
I slept very well. You're absolutely right.
Good
very
job.
Well.
Very nice.
Very well.
I think that's wonderful. I actually, before we go to break, and I know we have to go to break. Actually, I'll find it during the break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I brought my son into the recording studio yesterday.
I can't wait.
Oh, cool.
I had a little Easter interview that I sent along to the family, and I'll share it with you when we come back on the Mike O'Berry Show. Wonderful wino. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. While you enjoy it, is this Steve Miller?
It is.
Take it away, Steve.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. I experience it twice a week with the Mike O'Mara Show. When we record the bonus show on Thursdays, a lot of his content spills into the next week. This probably leaves a lot of non-P1 listeners with some burning questions. Like, what are the best tricks for getting rid of a hangover? And what exactly makes something family gourmet? Does dunking pizza in milk really make it better? And what exactly makes Ashley and me so much better than the male interns? Although,
amen,
that last one you probably could have figured out from listening to the regular show. If you want to know the answers to these questions, there's only one place to go. Subscribe to the bonus show to find out all these things and more, and to avoid being a rube.
She's the best.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hope you're enjoying it. Today's program is brought to you by Vistaprint. Vistaprint is all about supporting small business owners, and they are the place to go for any custom products for the home or office. Whatever you need, postcards, banners, flyers, apparel, Vistaprint can make it happen. But this one Vistaprint deal remains unbeatable. Right now, 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. That's 500 cards for under $10. And we really appreciate you sending your business cards to Rob at Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Rob's got another business card from Vistaprint sent in by one of our listeners. Take it away, Robbie.
As you know, we see a lot of cards, and you'd think you'd see the same things over and over again, but everyone is different, and this is maybe the most eye-catching card I've ever seen. Look at the red and the yellow on it. It really grabs you, and it's a two-sided card. On the back, it has an appointment schedule, so if you make an appointment with this guy, you can write the time and the
day.
This is Retro Fitness of North Wales, Pennsylvania. Fitness manager Rob Morey designed this card from scratch, and it's a winner.
Nice.
Vistaprint, baby. Remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's up to a 50% savings. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create your custom card, and use promo code TMOS at checkout. The quality is great. They are easy to customize, and you can't beat the deal. 500 100 business cards for just $9.99. Remember, go to Vistaprint.com, use TMOS, and order yours today. And don't forget to send Rob your business cards at business card, or you don't have to put anything in it. Just say it's business card.
Yeah.
P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. And we thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yeah, I mean, I was just knocking around yesterday. We got this death grip that Carla still has.
Did you have a basket for little Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a basket.
Were eggs hidden in the house?
Do you want to hear the tape first, and then I'll tell you the story, or vice versa?
I'd love to for you to set up and paint the picture for what O'Mara Easter
is. It's a good story, and this is one of those shows where, my God, why don't you guys fly down here in the morning, join me, because then you could prep the show properly, because this is actually quite a story. I'm going to go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to go to the tape, which we made yesterday afternoon. Then I will tell you the story of his Easter Sunday, and then I will tell you the story of Friday when we took him to see the Easter Bunny at the park where they have the challenged
like
individuals riding the little toy train around the park. But first, this is Michael in the studio with me, and this is about 1 or 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And he was on there.
We're here with Michael William on Easter Sunday. Good morning, Michael.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're done testing. We don't need to test anymore. How was your Easter?
Good.
Who came to the house last night?
The Easter Bunny.
And what did he bring you?
A sword.
What else?
Candy.
What else?
A pirate jacket.
What else?
And bug catcher stuff.
Did you catch any bugs with the bug catcher stuff?
Yeah.
And today's date is April 16th, 2017. It's Michael and Daddy. And what else happened? Did anybody take a picture of the Easter Bunny at night?
Daddy.
Was it a cute-looking bunny?
No, Daddy.
What was it?
The Daddy.
Yeah. I remember I took a picture of it. It was a real bunny, right? Going to say yes or no?
Yes.
And what's your name?
Maple.
And can you say Happy Easter to everybody?
Happy Easter.
Anything else you want to say on the tape?
What's a three-humped camel?
What's a three-humped camel?
Yeah.
What is a three-humped camel?
It's a camel that has three humps.
Okay, can you say I love you?
I love you.
Bye-bye.
And see you later.
Mike, that is awesome.
There he is.
Mike, let
me
offer you this.
Thank you, Scarlett.
Of all the video and stuff I have of the kids, the stuff I treasure the most is the audio stuff somehow.
I think you and I have discussed that and
awesome.
So that's why I was thinking yesterday.
So please,
I
keep doing that. Even if you don't share it with us, do it. Like it's that. Great.
I love having that.
That's so cool.
Three hump camel.
Saturday night before, after I think it was after he went to sleep, Carla did a fantastic job, speaking of the dollar store, grabbing all the little crap that you put in his basket. And the thing is that he had seen the Easter Bunny, we'll get back to that, on Friday. The so-called Easter Bunny, and he decided that he knew immediately, because he's a smart little guy, that this is not a real Easter Bunny. She said, "That's somebody in a suit. I can see their neck."
Ah!
And so he
it's
like
a different experience than doing Santa.
Yeah,
it's very different.
He went from being an infant, where we got this picture of him grinning with the Easter Bunny, to being afraid of the Easter Bunny last year, to now it's not real, Dad.
Yeah, it's probably tough, and I think as a father as well, and I see sometimes with my niece and nephew where they just can't suspend like the reality that they have
disbelief
in front of them,
right.
And for example, when my younger niece is at Disney World, my nephew, who's 11, is still a little boy. Like, he's excited. He's like, Goofy, Goofy, Goofy. And she, who's 6, is like, Luca, that's just a man in a suit.
Right.
Right? And I just want to do the hook from the Showtime at the Apollo and pull her off the scene.
Yeah,
I'm like, he's just trying to be in the moment.
Bring the Sandman out to sweep her off stage.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an interesting disconnect, though, because it's not like he saw the person in the suit and then threw out the whole concept of the Easter Bunny. Here's the way it works. He said that he could not, that was somebody, that's not a real bunny. That's not a real bunny.
Oh, so he wants a Cadbury bunny.
He wants a real bunny to be the Easter bunny. And so
I've always wondered, and I never discussed this with my kids, if they thought the real Easter bunny was like a regular sized rabbit. Was it like a big, big rabbit like you might see in a zoo? Or is it like a 6 foot tall walking rabbit?
As a kid, the 6 foot tall walking rabbit for myself.
That's what I had in my mind.
No, that was terrifying.
Of course it is.
Yeah, but if I saw we used to have bunnies in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
When I saw the bunny before Easter, I'd say, oh, he's getting ready for Easter.
But you have to admit, I think it's easier for a kid to wrap their head around the Santa Claus thing because he's a man, right? Granted, he breaks the speed of sound for 24 hours a day, one day a year, but it is an easier concept to grab than a huge bunny.
I have Mike's picture of the Easter bunny he showed to his son.
Okay.
By the you picked the most terrifying picture of a bunny.
Here's the way it works. This is so Sunday night.
Oh, no!
Wait, it looks like Winston.
Yeah, but
hold on. Sunday night, we are told. Saturday night, Carlos says, he wants daddy to take a picture of the Easter bunny, but it's got to be a real bunny. So I say, okay, I can generate that for you. I'll go online and see nighttime bunny, picture of bunny night, and you can find anything on the internet. And so I got that, and then I took a screenshot of it for my phone so that when he woke up in the morning, I said, I hid the basket in my office. He finds the basket. He said, by the way, I think I got a picture of the Easter bunny. And it's the first thing I showed him, and he was completely satisfied. So it wasn't that he was throwing out belief in the Easter bunny. He just didn't like those kids. And by the way, this gets back to the original subject of the Easter Bunny, which these suits, Santa suits are Santa suits. You see good,
right.
You see bad. But the Easter Bunny suits they vary in quality dramatically, and most of them are just a big bag of rags. They are just overused, not updated, and you've seen, they actually had a meme out on the internet a couple of years ago that they do every year, the terrifying Easter Bunny costumes that are just horrible. And it's very difficult to have any kind of credibility when your big Easter eye and your fake head that you're wearing is peeling off of the felt. So that
these
the
are a lot
of eye,
a lot of these are Nixon era Easter bunnies. And also, I question the fact that the Easter Bunny seems to always be wearing a purple vest. Is that really appropriate bunny attire?
Let's take a break here so we maintain our timing here. And then I will tell you about our Friday trip to the Florida park, where the event was going to be the same event they do at Christmas and Halloween. The little toy train that actually you can ride on.
Nice.
It's not like a full-size train. It's a toy train run by a retiree and another fella. And
is it a work-release program?
It could be. But we'll tell you the story of the... it's all about parenting, isn't it?
It is.
It's all about parenting.
It really is.
That's a cute Easter. Now, that's a cute Easter bunny.
Yeah, he's got pajamas on.
That's better.
Yeah.
Looks like, that kind of looks like Auschwitz Easter bunny right there.
Oh, my God. The bunny you sent over looked like the
pajamas,
bunny from Saw.
What they wore. We will take a break.
The bunny in the pajamas.
With more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Sanjeev. What are you doing?
I'm calling the Mike O'Mara Show.
It is Wide Open Wednesday.
Oh, but what are you going to ask?
Shut up, Raj. I'm on the line.
Hello, caller. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Mr. Mike. My name is Sanjeev. I'm calling from Mumbai. I want to know, if you could only have one snack for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Family gourmet prunes.
Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Wide Open Wednesday. Call 1-888-920-6673.
Sounds like he's gotten older.
Open at 9 a.m.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Family gourmet stuff really taking
Mike
charge.
Mike Brunner.
Here.
Thank you, Mike, for sending that in.
Mike, fantastic. Keep them coming. Stamps.com. This segment of our program brought to you by the good people at Stamps.com. Here's the bottom line. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. Stamps.com lets you mail anything. Just use your computer and printer, and then your mailman picks it up. Avoid the hassle of the post office. Mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. Create your Stamps account in in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you're done. Convenient, easy, reliable, flexible. That's Stamps.com. They even send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. We have used Stamps.com forever, and we will continue to use it because it's easy, convenient, and saves us money and time. Right now, you too can enjoy the stamp service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, and enter TMOS. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again, and we want to thank them for their long-term commitment.
Great guy.
To the Mike O'Mara Show. You support Stamps.com, you support TMOS. That's the way that works. So Friday was the day, right after the show. You know, we had a great couple of shows on Friday, if we do say so ourselves.
Yes.
We were probably all feeling pretty good after we headed out. And that afternoon, I was planning on joining Mrs. O'Mara and the little guy for a trip to the local park down here where they have a train. I want to describe the train accurately because it really didn't...
Like a Silver Spoons train.
It wasn't what
that
I expected.
That is so not in Mike's wheelhouse, but wow. I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's maybe like a... You sit on it instead of in it, maybe?
It's a train that's not a full-size train,
but
you can sit behind it. Like the guy
that
runs it.
It's a mini
train. It's a gas mini train.
Yeah.
Mm. And then attached to the mini train are these little padded seats that have a little narrow part in front of them where you can put the kids.
Okay.
And like the mom or the dad can sit back on the padded seat. And we head out there, and as soon as we get to the park, it's a beautiful, blustery Florida day, about 80 degrees, absolutely
breezy.
Breezy, kind of day that I love down here. We had a weekend of fabulous weather down here. And we go to this little park, and I see, I've never been to this park like Carla has. She's been multiple times. And you see the little kiosk, and then you see the line, and there's a line. And you know what? Down here in West South Florida, I don't deal with these lines very well, and I don't see them very often, but there was a line, and it's for the little kid. There's no problem, and there are probably, I
want
to say,
of this line.
70 people waiting to get on this
70!
This train. Now, they have two trains, and the trains take probably about 20 families, you know, probably 25, 30 people on each train ride that they have. So, you know, it'll be there. You have to buy a little $10 ticket. The little guy, the crumb cruncher, is free. There's no problem. And my kid is a little bit.
The next stop, East of Bunny Wonderland. This is the orange line going to Easterland. East of Bunny. Go by the same houses you see at Christmas and Halloween. Easter Bunny shows his neck.
Easter Bunny shows the neck.
So there's an old retiree, a really old man that's running the first train.
Right.
And then there's a guy that I think maybe has some issues that's running the second train. That's a grown man, but he seems to be a little,
issues, Mike?
Yeah.
That's a broad brush. That's not cool. So he's but it's fine. And then there's a lady that's like, there are two ladies that are wranglers that wrangle the.
They're the handlers, Mike.
Were you doing a Warren? What? Are you doing Warren like pantomime pony? Are you
Oscar?
Doing Warren pantomime?
We're trying to figure out what type.
You're doing Warren pantomime. Don't do Warren
within
pantomime.
Within a story, we like to, especially when ailments come up, we like to visualize the ailment.
But Pony got me with the six shooters. Thank you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Easter Bunny comes out.
Cunning mimic. I said it before.
When you're the last group trying to get on the train, the Easter Bunny's handing out lollipops, which is terrific, right?
Yes.
It's great.
Because that's a nice capper.
Yeah. It would be the equivalent, if this had been the Christmas train, it would have been a candy cane. But because it's not Halloween, because it's Easter. It's lollipops. It's lollipops.
It's disc skipped.
So the thing about it is the line stretches around the little railing that they have, the little iron fence, and we're waiting for because this is the depot where they have all these type of things. And then there's like a warehouse that's next door with these big metal doors that apparently those are the metal doors that they use for storing probably the train when it's not in use. It's right next to where the depot is. And the first thing I noticed was standing there are three or four children that are loose. That there doesn't seem to be apparently any
supervision.
And they are up against the metal big iron doors that they have. And they're doing this, and I'm like, you know, I said it might be a really good idea, Carly, if there was some parental supervision that, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? And meanwhile, there are three or four or maybe five parents that are just like I am that are saying, okay, this was, and they're wrestling this door. And
come
there
out,
she
Easter
is.
Bunny.
She's very noticeable because she's tall and she's thin and she's wearing the little tennis dress and
oh,
she's
dear.
Got the perfect tan.
Oh, really?
And she's from a land far away. And she and I
like
and
Montana?
Carla elbows me. She elbows me when I make my first under the breath comment, which apparently is a little loud enough for people to hear. I said, "Well, she obviously spends more time working on her ass than her parenting skills." And so, I at this point, and the you know, and Carla goes, "They can hear you. They can." And the kids are running loose, and it goes on and on and on. And finally, I said, enough of this crap. I'm going to be here for 40 minutes waiting in this line. I walk up. I said, excuse me. No, that was the second thing I finally got fed up. She goes over. Wait, I got it wrong. I got it wrong. It's when they stuck their hands in the water fountain that's when I got involved.
Oh, dear.
The first thing is she's banging on it, and all the parents are looking around going, okay, what's the deal? Meanwhile, my little guy is tired, but he's good tired. He's tired where he's just like a little bit of the, but he knows he's going to be on the train, and he's just not into
sometimes
this.
When kids get tired,
wild.
They get lovey. Was he
yes.
just like being cuddly
yeah.
and
he
nice,
was cuddly,
right?
lovey tired, okay. and it was great. So she finally comes over and wrangles them. Takes them back over to where they're waiting line. They go right back.
Of
they're not
course.
Paying any attention. And there are four or five of them. And then finally she said, we're not going on the train if you're going to do this. We're not going to go on the train. Jawohl. Yes, okay.
So it was Mamacita?
Is it an au pair, you think, maybe?
She looked like you know, a 40-year-old former tennis player.
Martina Navratilova.
The other one. I'm trying to think.
Steffi Graf.
No, give me another one. There's one more.
Jimmy
Connors.
There.
She was in the news recently. She was, anyway, but she's thin, and she's, what was that?
Sharapova?
Sharapova.
Sharapova. She looks
nice
like Sharapova.
Mac.
Thank you, Mac.
Only an old Sharapova.
Today's
and
a win
so,
for you.
So she takes them over, and then I look over, and there is a three-tiered water fountain. One for the little bitties, one for the mid-level, and then the adult. And it's a beautiful
like
little design.
Like a drinking fountain.
And you hear the yes. screaming, and they begin to scream, and they're screaming because they are putting their hands on top of the water spigot where the water comes out into people's mouths, and they're spraying each other with it. Now,
yeah.
some of the spray is getting on the kids, and they're screaming, and then I'm realizing, you know, their little beaters are on these on this water fountain. And the fact
don't
is,
repeat
you know,
it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, and the thing is, and these, and by the way, that hopefully won't happen for many, many years down the road. The fact is that, you know what? In fact, edit that whole thing out. That was totally inappropriate. Their
out.
Little claws. Their little claws. I'm sorry. I use that when I. It's the only negative. Pony. It's my only negative for hands. It's my only negative for hands that I use regularly. So I'm sorry about that.
Petri dish.
So
yeah. In my life, it's a positive.
Their little butt scratching hands
yes.
are
yeah
are on the, are, thank you are on the water fountain and they're pawing at it and I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, any self-respecting
boogers.
Parent would
yes.
sit there and go, get your hands out of the mouthpieces of the water fountain
yeah.
little. And I finally, this is when I snap and I walk over. I said, excuse me, but you know, kids drink out of these fountains and their hands are all over it, you know. And Then the parents both look at me, and it goes one of two ways I've found in these circumstances. Because
yeah.
you're really not, I am not parenting her children. I am walking over to the adults just
parenting
to say,
them.
Could you please help? And you go, it goes two ways. Neither one is ever really, you know, oh, I'm so, you never get, oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for pointing
right.
that out. No, you either get the duh look where they walk over and they take care of it, or they become indignant. I got the duh look
yep.
and they move them away from the water fountain, although the oldest brat made his way back over there for one last little touch.
Of course.
Because that's the way he rolls, the little skunk. And so they went over like this. And of course, meanwhile, they're loading up the, you know, the little Shecky train to go through the park. And I'm beginning to think, yeah, that's pretty low for the old hip, for daddy to get down to yeah. that. But I survived it. And guess who gets the front of the line? Guess who gets the very front of the line? Gets to ride on the front of the train.
Oh, it's the best spot. I'm guessing it was Michael?
It's Inga. It's Inga and the Brat family.
Oh,
Inga and
boy.
The Brat family. And man. What do they tell you? They give you one instruction on this little toy train that rolls through this murky water where, you know, raw sewage has been deposited.
Yes.
They say, don't keep your feet on the running boards. Don't hang your feet right. off the running boards. And don't shift your weight. And in yeah. my particular case, I know, you know, if I twitch a shoulder, this train's derailing, all right? So I'm going to be letter of the law. Carla sits in back of me. I'm in the seat in front of her, and Michael is sitting on my lap with, you know, we're getting ready for our little, and we walk over, and, you know, Ava Braun is up at the front of the train, and she is, you know, talking and chatting, and the kids are doing, you can see
sure.
that they're just completely, and I look, and her little wizened angular feet are firmly placed on the ground. Where they're not supposed to be. Where they're not supposed to be. And at this point, I'm like, well, she's not going to stop the train from going because the guy that's running the train has already, you know, began.
Sure.
Begun the journey. and so he starts out. I'm like, the only thing I'm hoping
Have you
is,
seen
like,
my
maybe,
smokestack?
Maybe there is some, you know, terrible accident that will yes. befall her. And then she finally lifts her feet up and she's got them out. Pigeon style
Sticking
that
out.
Are just hanging, and I'm just noticing
yeah, she's used to that position.
And then we take the little train ride out, and it was fine.
How long is the ride? And what supposed can you estimate
it's a
the
mile.
Distance?
It's a 1 mile train ride.
All right,
like
and it's not
minutes.
Open. It's not
the
open year round.
Flu train cold ride.
It it's not open year round.
No,
just
it's
for
not
holidays.
Open No, it's just for the well, it does Christmas, and you can see where you know they put like an egg. Where the Halloween ghosts are. You know,
all the major holidays. And
so they update
the
village.
Ghost standing around an egg. The Halloween yeah. village is the Christmas village, mm-hmm. is the Easter village. And then they charge you $10 and it's a volunteer operated operation. And it was perfectly fine. And we decided we'd go home because everybody was tired and we wouldn't rent the bicycle built for two.
A tandem bicycle? Yeah. That's another
tandem,
option there?
Well, a tandem sit-down bicycle. It's one of the sit-down kinds. It's more like a rickshaw. You
oh,
know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I do,
right?
yeah.
So it's got
it's
that
like,
type
I think
of
we called them a Surrey when I was
yeah.
growing up. Yeah.
I see
yeah,
them around the city.
It was mm-hmm.
As soon
was
as I see one, I think douche.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, they've got the windshield.
The regular tin down. This
Get
is just, you know, this is ride through the park, and it's all they rent.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they have the little bicycle. They have little paddle boats that you know, it's a nice little part, but the water seriously looked like something, looked like somebody put antifreeze in the water.
So it wasn't like, it wasn't like a return to Augusta.
No, you were spoiled at Augusta.
Yeah,
no,
it
was, first
yeah,
class.
It truly was.
Now you're in coach
yeah,
he's at the bunny farm.
Yeah, living the life of the regular guy.
Yeah, regular yeah, guy.
At the
hey,
bunny
Carla,
farm.
Come in here for a second. I want to ask you a question about that mother.
Yeah, Bunny
this
Village.
Carla always gets
get
back at
here.
This hour from dropping off the kids from school. And
was he excited to get back to school today? Because spring break is over, right?
Spring
yeah,
break.
He was in a great mood today.
Spring
so
break
how would,
forever.
How
Hi,
Carla.
Rate,
Hi, Carla.
How would you rate the mother on Friday at the
Inga.
Train?
She was obnoxious.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
yeah. There you go.
Yeah, what about her ass?
What about her ass?
She looked good.
Yeah, she looked good. But I said, didn't I say that she spent more time working? If she worked as much on her parenting skills as her ass, things would be better.
Yes, yeah. a lot better. Yeah.
And then we had a pretty good Easter weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oscar went to a sunrise service.
Good for you, Oscar.
Yeah, good
I'm
for
proud
me.
Of you.
Good for me. What did you guys
Rob
do?
Rob, the Spiewak didn't go to church just like we did.
And that's awesome too.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
She's awesome. The best, Mike. Bye. Don't lose
She's
her.
Very she's a keeper. You're a keeper. Thank you.
Our house was not totally devoid of religion, though, Mike.
What?
We did watch the Ten Commandments.
Carla's kicking ass on my diet. I got to tell you something. You know what my nutrition plan is? Carla, what do I eat? That's my nutrition plan, okay? The Mike O'Mara diet. Carla, what do I eat? Yeah. And Carla puts it in front of me. I eat it. I can't eat anything more or less. That's what I eat, and she's kicking
Todd
ass.
Todd lost 15 pounds in 1 week. 15.4, if I'm not mistaken.
15 pounds
How?
In a week?
Well, he...
Saigon!
He was on, which is essentially a fast, but a bone broth fast. Have you ever heard of this?
Bone broth. In the bone.
And he told me he was starting it last week.
What's in the bag, my brotha?
And I saw him on Saturday night.
Yeah.
He lost 15 pounds
and
in a
you
week.
You could tell. I was like, whoa.
Wow, I lost
pretty
eight.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear Todd Moore lost 15 pounds? What? It hasn't been. Oh, Carla just came in and went, it hasn't been a week yet.
Oh. So you can still catch him?
So I. What? Come here. You can't talk off microphone.
Does Todd even have 15 pounds to lose?
He's tall. So, yeah. You know, he can afford some LBs off.
So 15 pounds in a week?
Yes. Bone broth diet. Google it.
What?
Bone broth diet.
Bone broth diet.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Well, he looks great. I was like, you look like a 10. How do I get involved?
What? You can't hear him. Okay, bye. Give me
bye.
Thank you. Hey, right,
call
take
me later.
It easy, you two.
Sorry about
that. No smooching on air.
Bone broth. Hey, maybe I need that bone broth diet.
I wonder what the recipe is for bone broth.
Break me off a piece of that bone broth diet. Yeah.
You guys are the worst.
Hey.
Oh, yes, ladies.
Hey, Broomhilda. Police your brats.
Anyway, happy Easter, everybody.
That water fountain isn't squirting water. It's squirting bone broth.
Hey, I got news for you. News you may not need coming up next. And hey, shocker, we've got a Florida kicker with a poem. We'll be right back, everybody.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Jim Hunter. Jim is the morning news guy and wacky sidekick on the Captain Steve Platter Patrol morning show. He also is the afternoon DJ on 99 Plus KFMH Pirate Radio. His silky warm voice and pleasant on-air demeanor have made him a radio favorite for years. And ladies, he's single. But best of all, he's a big part of the mighty 1630 KCJJ, the terrestrial flagship broadcast home of the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, KCJJ. You're the best. 1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The time is now. Update the TMOS app on your tablet and smartphone and start living the magic of TMOS Live. I love this new app. We haven't talked a lot about it. TMOS Live changes the way you consume the Mike O'Mara Show. With one click, you can stream the show live as we record it every day. But wait, there's more, and this is the best part. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every time you click TMOS Live, you'll get even more TMOS content. Classic moments from the show's past, every minute of every day, at your fingertips. You can listen to us all day long.
Yep.
So now, in addition to the regular show and the bonus show, there's always just a little more at TMOS at your fingertips. More TMOS at your fingertips to thrill and delight you. TMOS Live, always there. Always on, 24/7, all the time. Always available on the TMOS app. Update your app today. If you haven't done that, you're missing out.
Can I make that quick distinction? Some people have said, yeah, I've listened live on the app, which is cool, right?
Yes.
That's more of a highlight than the actual function of the 24-hour live stream. The 24-hour live stream allows you to consume essentially 24 hours of programming, and they're not best of episodes. Well, if you want the episode, you listen to the podcast right there from the app.
Yeah, you go.
But if you go to the 24-hour live stream, you get to hear some choice segments.
So great.
24 hours a day, which is continuously updated as far as the catalog is concerned.
The app still has the ability for you to handpick exactly what you want, but you've got a button now where there's no thinking involved, and you just hit the button, and you get 24/7 TMOS, and we love it. I think it's working out really, really great. So if you haven't tried the app, or if you put the app off on the shelf and you don't consume the show that way, it's worth a try in the car when you're out working out, wherever you are, take it with you, and give the app a try. We are very proud of it, and it's done a really good job for us so far.
Also, it is the ideal way to get a friend hooked, because it's so easy to click once and say, this is the show I love, you got to check it out, and it's playing right away. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Show somebody how to grab the free app and put it on their phone and then say, click this on your way home and see what you think, and they'll be better for it. That's the way.
Here.
News.
Remember how Peyton Manning during NFL games would always yell Omaha at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
He did it constantly.
Yeah.
Everybody, it became a really big joke. Everybody was talking about it. Well, he finally explains what it meant, and naturally it has nothing to do with how beautiful Omaha, Nebraska is. He says, quote, Omaha was just an indicator word. It was a trigger word that meant we'd change the play. There was a low time. There was low time on the clock, and the ball needed to be snapped right now. It's a rhythmic three-syllable word. Omaha, set, huh. So that's the way. Okay, now I get it.
It makes
Omaha.
Sense, and it's neat to know that they actually had to think of the cadence of the word to make it be an indicator word.
Yeah, but you know, when asked about the state, whether it had, he said, Omaha, you taste so good. Peyton doesn't have any direct connections to Omaha, but his chant made him popular there. He says, quote, I'm a big deal there now. I went there a couple of years ago. I got a key to the city. I've always got Omaha if I need a place to live.
Wow.
I don't think he's hurting for a place to live, Peyton. Way to
no.
go.
I lost all my money. That's real sad.
Budweiser money.
He'll never lose at his money, that's for sure. Last week, Carrie Fisher's brother, Todd, said that Carrie would be in Star Wars 9. Well, he was wrong. On Friday, Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy said Todd must have been confused because Carrie's not in it. Kennedy said,
what?
Carrie's work in Part 8 is fantastic, but when she died, they basically had to scrap all their plans for her in Part 9 and start over. I thought they weren't going to have to do that.
I saw the trailer, and you see her in silhouette in the new trailer.
They don't pay her unless it's really her.
Oh, okay.
That's eight, though.
Probably something.
Nine.
Okay, you're taking nine.
Mac wants to weigh in.
Eight.
Oh, man. Yes,
nine.
Go ahead, Mac.
I was just saying, Rob was confused. Their eight is next.
I see.
Nine is the one that hasn't even started being made yet.
Yeah, moron.
Yeah I'm
Rob.
So sorry.
Yeah, God, nine. You're so confused, Rob. Yeah. Mac, thank you for straightening his ass out.
You're welcome, Mark.
Maybe today we could go into an anime movie and get haircuts.
Okay, very good. On a related note, but we didn't even get to... Mac, when's the next time you're coming? Mac, can you come in tomorrow?
I cannot, actually. I can come in Wednesday, though.
Team player!
Wednesday.
Team player Wednesday.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I have an appointment.
With his hand.
Every Tuesday, I have the same appointment.
What happened with school?
What do you mean, what happened
when
with
you
school?
When do you go?
I go tomorrow.
Okay, just want to make sure.
All right, so you can come in Wednesday,
I can come
please?
In Wednesday, yes.
You have to come in Wednesday.
Sure.
We want to have you featured on the show Wednesday. Because
I will do that.
Rob and Mac have a movie fight, and you have to table your movie fight to Wednesday.
Okay.
A list.
All right. Very good.
On a related note, if you haven't seen it by now, the new trailer for Part 8, The Last Jedi, came out Friday. As of last night, it had more than 24 million views. So you looked at that one, Rob?
Yeah, it looks pretty dynamic. I'm excited about it. Looks
very
cool.
Good. Melissa McCarthy was back on Saturday Night
excited
Live.
Excited about her, too.
As White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, and as usual, she killed it. Spicy came out in an Easter Bunny costume, which was I just laugh every time I see the makeup they put her in.
Yeah.
That was appropriate. Spicer actually was the Easter Bunny for the White House Easter egg roll during the Bush administration about a decade ago.
You know, your buddy, Michael Colburn, Colonel Colburn, has a picture of himself with the Easter Bunny that is Sean Spicer.
Unbelievable.
Pretty neat.
Obviously, the main point of attack was Spicer's flub about Hitler not using chemical weapons and how he called concentration camps Holocaust centers. This guy... It's got to be tough, man. It's got to be tough for him to go home.
It would be okay if he was new or an intern and just was an idiot. The guy's been doing this for a living.
And he was chosen.
Like,
he was chosen.
You could give a guy a pass for one flub. That's all he does now.
All he's got is the anger. That's what. But yep. It's great. I tell you, I hope he never gets replaced. Melissa said, quote, it would be really great if the nitpickers would try to see the big picture. She's doing Sean Spicer. So
right.
She said it would be really great if the nitpickers would try to see the big picture and didn't solely focus on every little slur and lie I say. That'd be nice. That's just funny, right? You can't help it.
There's, no.
I mean, it's material that's right there, but funny. It's official. There is no one left on Earth who was alive in the 1800s.
Oh, no.
The world's, pour some out, Rob.
And by the way, I don't necessarily buy that. I think there are probably other cultures where they're not documented, but who knows?
But they're not documented. We can't certify, Mike.
But Mike, exactly. He's still doing his news podcast, isn't he?
Thank you. Oh, my. What? Oh, dear. That's the send letters to Rob Spiewak. That's Rob Spiewak.
You really want
to
look under the hood. That's what's there.
The world's... The world's oldest person, Emma Morano from Verbania, Italy, passed away on Saturday. She was born on November 29th, 1899, and was the last verified living person who was born in the 1800s. The cause of her death hasn't been revealed. Like
her lifestyle. Her lifestyle caught up with her, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. she was 117 damn years old. I think it's safe to say her body finally just broke down. Emma has said she lived such a long life by doing three main things: eating eggs, going to bed early, and being single. I got two out of the three.
Nice.
At least now in my life. The new oldest person. Well, maybe I can go three for three. Carla! Anyway, the new oldest person in the world is a woman named Violet Brown in Jamaica. Yeah, man. She was born on March 10th, 1900, and she is now officially the oldest.
Would you want to live that long?
Yes.
Really?
If I had my mind and I could see the way people grow up and just sit, yeah, you just sit in a chair. It really isn't that much of a departure from
what I
do right
now. If I make it to 80. Never mind.
Sorry. If you make it to 80, what is
it?
You'll
big
be
win.
Happy?
Big win.
It's a big win. No. Yeah. No, just put me in the corner. Give me my brain. Let me look at people doing things and, you know, put the wheels on when you need to take me to something
Shove
else.
Shove me up. Shove me up.
Yes.
And dust you.
Yes, dust me periodically. Yeah. Don't let me
He's got that
dust.
Good shine.
Thank you. According to a new study, people are most likely to shop at IKEA when they're 24. And 30% of IKEA's customers are between 24 and 30. So when do you outgrow it? Apparently at age 34.
Yeah.
That is when you start transitioning to places like West Elm, Crate and Barrel, and Williams-Sonoma.
Oh, I'll never get to Williams-Sonoma.
And then in your 40s, so you start hitting Restoration Hardware and Pier 1 Imports.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense. Eventually, though, you stop focusing on buying furniture and stuff for your home, and you just start going to hardware stores. You're most likely to go to Home Depot when you're 48.
Yes.
And Lowe's when you're 54.
Lowe's skews older? That's weird, because they're identical,
They didn't put Walmart
it's
in here.
It's the blue hairs at the blue store.
I do Lowe's much more than I do Home Depot.
Yeah.
I actually prefer
Home Depot has a different energy. It's like they actually want you to do something at Home Depot. Lowe's, they are like, you're not going to work that hard. Here's this shelf that requires
no
screws.
But there's also the Home Depot energy of, I work here, but I'm going to not be where you are at
any time. I would say that's in Northern Virginia. Because in Northern Virginia...
My experience with the Home Depot is the Home Depot... There are more coffee clatches at the Home Depot than there are at Lowe's. There's more socializing among employees at Home Depot than there is at Lowe's.
I know Lowe's, everybody's working.
Yeah,
I
they
kid
are.
You not.
But if you go to Home Depot, you know where there's always a desk like at the carpet and flooring center, and there's like eight of them there.
Yeah, yeah, gathered, chatting.
Yeah. Parquet flooring.
We went to Lowe's and Home Depot for quotes for our floors.
Yeah.
And Home Depot didn't call us back. Lowe's called us back the next day.
Hungry.
Yeah.
They want the deal.
I'll take Lowe's. At least that's where I go right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, speaking of, this is not speaking of Lowe's. This is, that's called a flu transition. Now a little something. This is Mike O'Mara limping through the end of the show. Mm. A 50-year-old Florida man was arrested after allegedly stuffing two 16-ounce cans of Miller Lite into his pants at the Publix in the Villages. Duffy Joe Martinez. Oh, Duffy Joe!
Mike, I want you to once again, I know you have the flu, but please repeat the name for me.
Duffy Joe Martinez.
Thank you.
He's from Wildwood. Not familiar with that town. He entered the store at about 6 p.m. Wednesday, went to the beer aisle where he appeared to stuff something down his pants. A store manager followed Martinez, who appeared to have the outline of a beer can on the back of his shirt. When confronted, Martinez pulled out a 16-ounce can of beer he had wedged in the back of his jeans. Then he pulled a second can out from the front of his pants. And when a deputy arrived, Martinez asked, "Am I going to jail? I gave him back."
Oh, there they go.
He was arrested on a charge of petite theft, my favorite Florida charge, petite theft. And he was booked at the Sumter County Detention Center. You going to Sumter County, $500 bond, that massive bond for that, and caused me to take pen to paper and write another Florida poem.
I love when you make verse.
In Florida, it's that time of year when the wingnuts avoid the cashier. As we get our hot weather, stealing things just feels better. And the thing that tastes best is the beer. Thank you very much.
Well done.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice work.
Happy poetry. We'll take a break. Come back with Rob's little sounds from the Easter Harry Day weekend right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
The tablets.
The tablets.
The tablets from the Sermon on the Mount. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Springtime, fun time, outdoor time, Amazon time. Yes, the seasons are changing, but one thing never changes. You need Amazon.com, and we need you to access Amazon through us. The next time you visit Amazon, do it through our website or our app. We just told you about that. It changes nothing for you, means the world to us, and remember, it costs you nothing at all. Nothing. So, when you're shopping Amazon, please access it via TMOS. Use the app, use the website, or bookmark MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. And as you get ready for spring and summer, check out the amazing home and garden deals on the front page of MikeOmeraShow.com. TMOS and Amazon will help you beat the heat with stuff that's neat and prices that can't be beat. You know that's sweet. All right, let's open up the audio vault for today. That was awfully soft. I'm going to close it, and I'm going to open it again and turn it up.
Oh, now it's wide open.
Yeah.
Monday, April 14th, 2017, Easter Monday. Have fun at the roll, kids.
Can you believe, Mike, it has been 7 days since you returned from the Masters tournament in Augusta?
Feels like a month
still,
ago.
We were sipping tea from our Masters coffee mugs today. We had such a great
Masters.
Time.
And I know that it was said that you didn't get to watch the coverage live on television, right, because you were there, but that's a nice trade-off. But I put together
DVR'd it, watched it when I got home.
Put together a small highlight reel for you of some moments from the telecast that I think you'll enjoy. Help you relive Masters Sunday.
Hello, friends. And hello, friends. We're glad to have all of you friends with us today. Hello, friends. Or hello, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. John, hello, friends. Welcome, friends. Hello, 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 friends. And welcome, friends. Hello, friends. Welcome back, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. And hello, friends. Welcome, friends. Hello, friends.
We'll always have Augusta, Mike.
We'll always have Jim Nance's friend's crutch.
Send that. Send that to Nancy.
That's right.
The worst part for me, and I don't know why this sticks in my craw, but his just – Nance is a funny guy, and he's good guy, and he's a lot of fun, and he's somebody that I'd love to get him back on the show again. Maybe we can do it next year before the Masters. That'd be a lot of fun. Jim Nance is a fun guy, but that demeanor he has when he greets Billy Payne.
Yes!
You know, for the presentation of the jacket, where it's like, hello, Billy.
Yeah,
you know, just that whole thing kind of.
It's like he just paid his dues.
It actually is weird. It looks like he's holding in a lung full of pot smoke that he can't release.
Hello, Billy. Butler Cabin.
But it wouldn't be the same without him. I mean, the Masters wouldn't be the same without
him. He
Jim
is
Nance.
Part
Jim
of the
Nance
fabric. He really
is.
He is
now officially iconic, and he has been for a good long time. I like Jim Nance, and I think he's a fabulous play-by-play football
guy. Quick sidebar. Isn't it awkward that the guy who just won the Masters sits in the middle seat? I just realized that last week.
Yeah, that you've got Jim Nance and Billy Payne on the right.
Yeah.
And then you've got, is it the guy that just won right to the left?
Yes.
And then the guy that's the champion. And then to the left of him is the amateur.
Yes.
Isn't that
and
the
so
way it
so
works?
When you walk in for a seating arrangement, even on camera, it's always kind of like the bumper car situation where like, oh, no, you go here, you go here. No, you're sitting in the middle. Even though they know they're going to sit in the middle.
I'm somebody who thinks the whole thing ought to be out there where everybody can see.
Yes!
I think that it's too...
Instead of the skull and bones.
I don't think you've thought that through.
By the way, this death grip that I believe I can attribute this death grip to being in close proximity to about 10,000 people in that little gift shop they had at the Masters. I think that's what caused this cold.
It's the wealthy flu, Mike.
I'm reading right now. It's the Augusta Press Scimitar. Apparently there was some infected peach ice cream sandwiches that got right.
Oh, man, the peach ice cream sandwiches.
Sounds phenomenal.
All that's gone, by the way. The peach ice cream, you know, all that I gained at the Masters is
fantastic.
Is lost.
You just
now.
Got
well,
beef.
Also you can do right. You can beef eat like bro. That because you walked 7 miles that day.
Boom, bro.
Well, but it didn't matter. It's still when I got on the scale the Monday after the Masters, I was like out of my mind, shocked. It was crazy. I mean, that's a lot of calories in the pimento cheese sandwiches.
Hey, you know what else has a lot of calories is Dr. What's Pepper that? Soda.
Oh, yes. Sugary soda, the worst thing you can take in.
And there is a girl named Claire Daniels, and she truly, truly put a wrench in Dr. Pepper. They had a great idea for a promotion. She put out on Twitter that she drinks so much Dr. Pepper that she should have a Dr. Pepper fountain at her house. So Dr. Pepper jumps on this, designs
like a real fountain,
like the kind that you would see, almost like a bird bath gone crazy, you know, with
not
tears.
Like a soda fountain,
no,
a real fountain,
like a fountain fountain.
Well, Robbie, you know this, real fountain's gonna take all the carbonation out of it.
Well, it's more for show, but okay. But it is a court. They designed it custom and built it out of Dr. Pepper bottles, and it had the logo all over it, and it was filled with Dr. Pepper. What they didn't
bless their hearts.
What they didn't verify is that Claire Daniels is a moron, and that she really only drinks about 2 or 3 cans a day, which is not that much.
No,
so
it's not really.
When they make this,
that's
huge,
a lot.
Enough to merit a fountain?
No, but for any regular person, 2 to 3 sodas a day.
Do you want to advance the bid, or do you
want to? I'm just saying, just for context, 2 or 3 sodas a day is a lot.
Do you want to advance the bid? That's okay. Funny. So here's her.
That's my biggest laugh.
Here is her accepting the fountain, and you got to know this is not the spokesman that Dr. Pepper wanted for their quarterly.
She's an idiot.
Yeah, listen to her.
I just said that I should probably have a Dr. Pepper fountain installed in my house because of how much money I spend on it, which is pretty accurate. So,
how much money do you think you spend a week on Dr. Pepper?
I honestly don't know. I don't pay attention because I feel like it would make me sad. So,
how much Dr. Pepper do you drink a day?
Well, I haven't been drinking a lot because I gave it up for Lent, but, like, normally, I try to only do one because, like, health, but probably, like, at least 2, maybe 3 on a
such
like,
an idiot.
I think it's
such
awesome. I'm really excited. I think it's weird how, like, one tweet can make this happen, but pretty cool.
It is pretty cool that in the course of that interview, she said she's cutting back on Dr. Pepper for health.
Mike, she's
so thank you for being a spokesmodel.
She's cute. She's skinny.
Right.
She's white. They thought they had a winning formula.
Oh, they really did.
They had it.
They thought she would be Jared. They thought they'd be her next Jared.
And I want them to bring back I'm a Pepper, you're a Pepper.
I like that.
I like that. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper, too?
You know, there are no good jingles right now. No commercial jingles.
The fountain does look cool, though.
Oh, I'd love to have it. I'd love it.
I'd like it with light Heineken beer. Light beer.
She's got a sister in the background that definitely.
We got another keg can over the weekend.
Keg can, yes.
Keg can are strong.
Yeah, Mike, I respect that you're doing the keg can. They're so awesome.
Yeah.
It's right in the refrigerator. But we tapped it, and I had half a thing of one, and I just wasn't. I'm too.
Would you ever step up to like a countertop kegerator?
No.
Keep it dedicated?
Because that's too much. I don't drink that much beer. So it's a.
Well, you need to apply yourself.
I know I should. I should work
2 or 3 a day is not good, Mike.
That's right. You'll never get your Heineken fountain because we're trying to cut back for Lent. Let's close with this. I missed all of you guys. I was at Coachella over the weekend. Great concert.
Oh, really?
Great
What'd you wear?
Nothing. Oh. I was nude. And due to my stomach, no one could arrest me because there was no indecent
skin
exposure.
Skin is in.
Yeah, it looked like the guy on Operation.
That was Rob making a stomach hanging over his junk joke.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
No indecent
That's
exposure.
That's my Fluita. Stomach hanging over the
hello,
junk joke.
Fluita.
Nobody saw anything. You
this
get
is
it?
My dear friend, Fluita.
Fluzo.
But at Coachella, Radiohead had a whole bunch of sound problems. Check this out. I mean, this is not a rinky-dink affair. Fair, and what they say at the end is pretty funny.
I'd love to tell you a joke, lighten the mood, or something like that. But this is already had some.
He said, "We'd like to tell you a joke to lighten the mood." But this is Radiohead, so F it. It turns out the problem, think about this is the biggest musical festival of the year.
Yes.
The problem was they had to turn off the board for 10 seconds and turn it back on. Oh. That's what the problem was at Coachella. So the next time you're dealing with tech support, do a full reset. Wow. Glad to know that it worked out for them. Gluella, I hope you're feeling better. And
that's your
audio vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Thank you. There's the audio vault. There's the music. Cue the announcer. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Our snail mail address is TMOS PO Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 22007. If you want to send a birthday or message for our weekly mailbag segment, it's Rob with 2 B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Thanks for all the years of amazing support for TMOS and continue to spread the word about our show all over the borough. For Bob Spiewak, Bosco Santana, and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Bloom. This is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing.
Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.